Yeah,
You
we're good.
ready?
We're good.
Why is Adam hiding?
Because I don't feel well and you don't want to see me.
Okay. All right. We're recording. Cool. Let's go. In this week in 1991, a late free kick from Warren Barton was enough for the Dons to gain a point against Liverpool. I didn't think about it at all, Barton commented. Terry Gibson told me to keep the shot low and hard. So I looked at the cop, took a deep breath, and hammered it. We love banging in goals. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me, it's more important than that.
Hello, everyone, dear listener. Welcome to the third-rate Same Old Wombles podcast for our special international edition. Very excited today. As usual, I'm joined by my friend Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matty.
By producer Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. Yeah, Adam's a bit ill, so he doesn't quite know what's going on at the moment. And to our football expert, I'm trying to come up with a name for you, a title for you, Mark. Mark
Football
Lewis.
expert's fine.
Yeah.
Well, how
I've been
about
called a lot
tall?
worse in my time. He should be
A
tall.
tall
Look, he's
expert.
so tall, he can't even fit on the camera.
Honestly, if you can see him on Zoom now, his head's cut off. And a big special welcome all the way from California, a special guest, Trisha Garcia. How are you, Trisha? Welcome.
Excellent, excellent. An undefeated January is an excellent January, no matter how you slice it.
It has been an excellent January. Yes,
One
yeah,
sentence
so.
has just taken my title of football expert away. One sentence.
So is Trisha, anything going on in the US of A at the moment? It sounds like a quite a slow news day, yeah?
You can't think of anything
Moving
really,
on,
to be
moving
honest
on.
with you. No. Just it's pretty, I don't have I'm a teacher, I'm off today. It's a great day to not be at work.
You say you're off today. Without being rude straight away, but you were here for like 3 weeks and then you went on a cruise. So
Yeah.
like I mean, can I have a job wherever you teach? Because I don't know how much vacation time you get, but it sounds good to me.
Exactly enough.
Exactly enough.
I would not, I even in jest recommend being a teacher in America to anyone.
No,
But
no.
I will take 3 weeks off. So you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. We won't go down that particular route, Trish. But just saying, you've heard the podcast before, am I right?
Yes.
Was this just part of your research, or is it on a weekly occurrence you listen to us?
I'm not gonna lie and say I'm a regular podcast listener to any particular podcast.
Yeah.
But when I dabble in podcasts, I have three that I go through, and this is one of those three.
That's fantastic.
All
We
worlds are the
actually have an
best.
international audience. It's amazing.
You'll get a name check every week now as our
Yeah.
international listener.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And Trisha, just want to know, so how on earth did you from California, how did you start supporting the Dons? What happened there? What's your journey in?
There's a vlogger. I'm sure you haven't heard of him. He's a pretty quiet but supportive member of the club. His name is John Green.
No,
And
doesn't ring a bell
he,
at all. Anyone? Yeah.
he's pretty underground.
Yeah.
But he I can tell you exactly. November 4th, 2013, he uploaded a video. Yeah, he uploaded a video and I watched it, and I remember at the end, and in this video, he plays FIFA very badly, and he tells the story of AFC Wimbledon's rebirth, and I listened to the story, and I finished the video, and I think to myself, what did I just hear? Was that the greatest story I've ever heard? Is like, should we quit with literature? Are we done? Is this it? This is peak story, and it actually happened in real life. Like, my mind was blown. I had, and I, being American, I knew nothing about actual football, or as they say here, soccer. So I had to really do like some digging to figure out, like, Because in my head, I'm just like, so it's just soccer. It's not a, it's just, I don't get it. But then it, this is peak story. So yeah, I was gripped instantly on November 4th, 2013, hearing the story for the first time. And then the next thing you know, it's just me laying on my couch, staring at the ceiling, listening to games at 7 in the morning because they're not filmed yet, at that point in our technological world. So I'm, and I know nothing about the sport, so my imaginings are very bad. But yeah, and then that's 2013. 2016 rolls around, I almost lose a job. I almost don't become a teacher because we win the playoffs. So,
Well, because you did something crazy like travel over here and come to the game.
oh no. I was a student teacher. I was teaching for free.
Right.
So instead, I instituted an independent work day for my students and watched the game on my laptop, and I got caught like a rookie. So, I was chastised, and there we, and yeah. So, me and the Dons. That's my. I attended my first game in 2019, Kings Meadow, a enthralling 2-2 draw against Accrington Stanley, where Joe Piggott scored and slid right in front of me, and that was the greatest day of my life. The greatest day
Don't tell your husband.
That is amazing. Was that
life.
wasn't there a game against Accrington Stanley where they scored a goal just before half time, but the ref blew a whistle and stopped? I just wondered if it was that game. The ball was going in and the ref
No,
blew for half time.
that was the
That was
season we
yeah.
went up in the playoffs because they should have pipped us. And they lost the last game of the season and they missed out on goal difference. And that would have been the goal, basically, that would have been us, I think.
But well, we'll live that story as well. That is fantastic. What a brilliant thing. And I'm really pleased that you've been ignoring anything that's coming out of Hollywood. Like you weren't swayed by Ryan Reynolds or the great story of the underdog there. Yeah.
That's yeah. No, they stole all your honor, and I'll never forgive, and I'll never forget.
John Green,
The
man.
most important question
He's a
really
nice bloke.
is which bit of California are you in? You're not anywhere near the forest fires, presumably.
No, good. I'm usually where the forest fires usually are is where I live, which is up north. But currently, they're located down south, so I am not in any danger at this time.
See, I told my daughter we had someone coming up from California, and her main interest was not, what your football history is or whatever, but were you safe in the forest fire? Which is credit to her, I guess.
Thoughtful. How thoughtful. That's nice.
17-year-old
Yeah.
thoughtful daughter.
Well,
Okay.
we like to get
That's
10 minutes
nowhere
into
my.
the pod before we ask how you're doing. So we're glad you're
That's not where my
okay.
daughter's at. My daughter was definitely at the why are you supporting Wimbledon kind of front, which is fine. Playing saying that she's a Wimbledon fan, so it's all right.
So not only at in 2013, not only did John Green introduce you to what we like to call the greatest story in football, but he also introduced you to football, soccer. We'll go with it for
Yes.
now. So as a result of that, I mean, and obviously you've been watching our games, but do you have you got into it locally? Is there like a local team you can go and watch?
In America, local is anything within 2 hours. So there is a National Women's Soccer League team called Bay FC, who just started their first season last season. So I am a founding season ticket holder for that club, but I don't watch any men's football in America because it's I have a men's team.
Yeah, too right. That's great, though. You've got that's
Well,
brilliant.
I don't know what the American is for two club wanker, but have you heard that term before? Basically, you can't have two teams.
Yeah, that's
Even now to this day, the bunch of 20-year-olds that I work with, 25-year-olds who I work with, say, "Who's your Premiership team?" And yeah, they get it now. I've been going on about it for 6 months since I joined my most recent company, and they we start off like a Monday morning motivational sales team call with me ripping the piss out of Man United fans or Chelsea fans or whoever's lost at the weekend. Tottenham right now, you know.
It seems like a great Monday morning motivational talk you have with your team there, Mark. Get them up and running. Yeah, no, that whole
that's
thing.
That's what
he
does.
We have an aversion to half and half scarves. That's that you know, simply should be.
That's wrong.
Abomination.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
It is. Abomination. I have to say, Mark, though, right, I've had the conversation quite a lot about what having two clubs, what we've been talking about, I can't believe I'm going to go down this route a little bit, is people might have a brand and a club. That's like you might have your favourite pair of cons, your favourite movie or whatever, but you don't ever go. I mean, nothing to you. This is my attempt of like getting Premiership fans away from the Premiership to proper football because they're just a brand, right? You don't ever go. You're just saying that in the playground, but your real heart, that's your real local club. And that's your club that means something. And that's us.
No, it means when you go and watch a ground like Kings Meadow and Joe Piggott does a knee slide in front of you. Because then whether you live in California or Wimbledon or anywhere else in the world, then that will grab you, so to speak. And then no matter where you live in the rest of the world, you're in it for life.
I just need to check in there with Adam. Producer Adam, Niles just said some defamatory words about the Premier League. Are we going to get in trouble? Do we need to cut that section?
I'm not sure. He started talking about brands. And he was moving us towards our own two clubs, which is really bad. So, you know, maybe we'll just have to cut all of it out.
Okay. Just check.
Niall tries very hard every week to put something in that we have to cut out.
Oh.
It doesn't even try. It just comes naturally.
I like it.
Yeah, naturally. There's always going to be something.
Mainly it's him talking bollocks, frankly.
Wait later on because we're going to talk football governance and I'm expecting that just to be silence when it comes to the edited version. Mark snoring. Whoa, Mark. But listen, so Trish, what was the last live game you came to see?
I was at the, oh my God, I'm going to embarrass myself right now. Gillingham?
No, you did it right. You did it right the first time. Gillingham.
Yeah, right, Gillingham.
Yeah, good work.
I was at that match at Pile Lane.
And it was an amazing goal, wasn't it? There was nothing wrong with that goal.
No, that was
not handball at all.
Undeniable masterpiece. Put it in the Louvre. it was. Look, here's the thing. That was my fifth Dons match and my first Dons win. So I'll take 100% of those.
We had this conversation, Matt. Was not handball. We've had this conversation. No. We know.
It was up.
Yeah, I'm going to die on that.
So it's like anything up here.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't this loud.
And if you're a Wimbledon fan, anything here is also fine.
Thank you, Diego.
Dear me. Well, that is fantastic. So what were the other four games you saw before then?
I was at the Boxing Day game against Swindon. I spent the better part of 5 years convincing my entire family, who know less about football than I did when I started, to come to a game with me. So I brought my entire family from California, my mom, my sisters, their husbands, my niece, my nephew. They were mascots.
Wow.
And it was the second greatest day of my life. My wedding's in there somewhere. Top five, I'm sure. And then we went to the Chesterfield game. That was my 16th wedding anniversary. And that was my first away experience. And it was, in a word, an experience.
Yeah.
So those were my last three. And then previous to that, I saw us play Salford. I would really like not to talk about it in April of 2022.
Was that the two goals in the last minute?
Awful. We're still traumatized by that. Dreadful.
Yeah, that was, and then the aforementioned 2019 Accrington Stanley masterpiece. Yeah.
Wow, that is that is a way to celebrate. I love it. This is true supportership. This is what it looks like, people. Getting your whole family down to Pearl Lane. No understanding about football. I don't think. Oh no, my daughter comes a lot. My wife. I don't. I'm just. I'm one time. I'm going to try.
Your wife's never been.
She came in one of the first seasons. We were in the CCL against Woking.
She has been. Yeah. She didn't leave the bar.
That was another time, yeah. But since
see, Tricia, I'm very fortunate, very, very fortunate, because all of us are like, you know, of a certain age, and we've all been like married for quite a while. But I'm the only one, basically, of all of us, that managed somehow to persuade, indoctrinate, whatever the appropriate term is, his better half into coming to games. Right. And she was actually, I told the story loads of times, she was hit on the head by a stray shot during the warm-up. This is back in Sellers Park days, August 1993. But that didn't put her off. And she's been coming. We've had season tickets for 30-odd years. And then we had kids, and our kids and our teenagers, and they all come. Two out of three of them come. The other one used to work in hospitality before they went to university. So, yeah, it's a whole family thing. And to be fair, Niall's daughter and Matt's daughter come, but I think that's mainly because they're cousins and they want to see each other rather than they want to see the football.
Oh,
very
dare you.
No. She was under the score and everything.
Yeah.
Very important.
But I think you'll find that the blow on the head with the ball says a lot, to be honest with you, Mark, because I was wondering how she ended up with you, but now it makes all sense.
Well, we'd all been together for like 2 years up to then, mate.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't talk about is the previous blow on the head, 2 years previous, so, you know, whatever.
Adam, can we go with that bit? We go okay. Anyhow, so the great thing is, so Tricia, you watch all of the games.
Yes. Unless my boss is watching, in which case, no, only during lunch. Or listening, sorry, podcasts are listened to. I know how words work.
Well, yeah, because like a midweek game, we've got like crew midweek in a couple of weeks' time, which will kick off about now. Well,
yeah, it'll about
be
midday.
Like, it'll be during the game around now, which will be like 12:30 midday.
Yeah.
That doesn't really work with a lesson. What do you teach? What subject do you teach?
I teach English to high school students, which are 16 to 18 year olds in our part and how
there's
we
no
do
way
education
you can
here.
Because there's no way you can build any kind of like watching a lower league football match into a lesson plan.
You totally can, Mark. You're just not being creative enough.
Not,
you can.
Yeah,
right? As a person
not,
who
yes.
was briefly a teacher, right, there is like media studies. There's lots in that. And equally, right, we're talking English, not American. So there's definite extra bit on the English. And then there's the colloquial, then there's the cultural studies of it that all obviously also comes into English. There is so much you can do there that it's obviously, you know, that's fundamentally important. You can get people training up to be commentators. That is a lesson plan and a half, Tricia. There you go. I can help you out.
I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes.
Definitely take notes.
And obviously there's John Green. I mean, he's an author, so there's a connection there. So, you know, I think there's ways. I insist that we want to know the next time that we're playing, when we're playing crew, that you have got your whole class watching the game, watching.
Well, what I want.
Second
what
division English football, Wimbledon
Fourth
versus
division.
Crew.
Well, what it is, right, here's the assignment, right? Watch this game and write a report on it. In the style of John Green.
There you go.
I like that.
There you go. That's an assignment and a half.
A report I'd be interested to read about a subject I care about. Easy to grade. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So at 3 o'clock, a normal Saturday, 3 o'clock, that is, what time is that?
7 a.m. 7
a.m. So you're up at 7 a.m. So you're up on Saturday, 7 a.m. to watch us play Tranmere. Wasn't the greatest first half. What did you think of it up at that point? Half time?
That was some League One football. League. I'm with the air quotes that you can't see, because again, this is a podcast. I when I watch games with my students, we talk about because they watch Premier League football. So we have contrasted and compared performances. And we talk about the differences between the levels of football. And I don't know what I would say happened that first half, but like that was there.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't great. Mark, what did you make of the first half?
What I make the first off, not a lot. I mean, actually, normally Tricia, I don't sit with Niall and Matt and the others, but I was doing so on Saturday because the rest of my family weren't around. And after a while, I said, "You know what? We're not playing very well, but we're still winning." And then Matt and I were trying to work out when we last actually played well, and I think it's probably something like the Carlisle game in mid-October. But amazingly, since then, we've found ways of winning,
Yeah.
even when we haven't played well. And Saturday, for example, we still had players missing. I did a here's a crazy question for all of you, actually. How many games this season do you think Jake Reeves, as captain of our team, has actually started?
Do you know, I want to throw this open to Adam because I know that he loves a question.
Yeah, thanks.
Adam, come
Well,
on,
I'm
mate.
pretty.
You can just fill us all in. How many times has Jake Reeves appeared, now he's our captain, started?
Well, first of all, I need to know how many games you've actually played total.
24, mate.
24.
Tricia, this is a really cruel, cruel thing they're doing. Like, Adam is known for his inability to answer any question.
He must have played quite a bit at the beginning, surely. So, 8.
Mark?
The answer is 10.
Well, Adam, I'm giving that to you. You are like.
Well, 11, including Saturday. But actually, Kelly has started more than Reeves had. And I think, we tried to do our best and first choice team on last week's pod. But actually, I think generally speaking, most of us would concede that the spine of the team should be Goodman, Lewis, Reeves, Bugle. And obviously another 7 players. But that should be the spine. But actually, and I haven't done the analysis, Player Lane by Numbers is a wonderful website to look at, and there's loads of stats that can come from there. But actually, one of the stats he came up with earlier today was who'd played the most minutes this season in a Wimbledon shirt. And obviously Goodman is top. Josh Nerfell is second by, like, he's only missed 29 minutes all season. Alistair Smith third. Matt Stevens fourth, James Tilley, and then Ryan Johnson. So Lewis and Bugle and Reeves, who we'd probably say are our three best and almost irreplaceable players, haven't really featured because of injuries and international availability for in Omar's case. And still, we are where we are.
Still with fourth.
Fourth with two games in hand on the two teams above us.
Yeah. It's
This is
pretty.
the bit
It's
that kind of. This is the bit I think
pretty
is
good.
so really optimistic for the season, because those players, if we're able to get them back fully fit for the whole second half of the season, and then dot dot dot, I'm not saying a single thing because I'm a firm believer in football gods, but there is definite optimism there, isn't there?
It's
Stop me, guys,
real.
before I kind of talk my way into saying things I don't want to
Question for
say.
Tricia, because obviously you watch the games on the screen. Do they just show one camera? Is there more than one camera that the actual view comes from? Or do you only have a limited view of the whole ground?
It's a limited one camera view, yeah.
So it's just
And
the same
Mikey
as the
T's
shit
doing the
thing they used to
commentary.
do for iFollow. It probably still is the iFollow equivalent.
My follow is actually better than whatever's happening this year. And yeah, the commentary is Mikey T and then sometimes Rob Cornell.
Brilliant. Well, that's good commentary. That's
Oh, it's
the
high quality stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Adam, what was your thoughts of the first
I
half?
hated it. It was seriously, after getting a replacement bus and knowing that I had to get a replacement bus home, I was so depressed after the first 45 minutes. I was like, why am I even here? So yeah, it was bad first half. And then I tried to get some chips at half time. The queue was like miles long, so I quit on the chips. But I did have a nice bagel before, the game kicked off, and I wasn't late, so
It's amazing because we're all on a WhatsApp group as well, and Adam likes to keep us informed on his trips in. So there's always something like that. If ever you've heard of something called Rise and Fall of Reginald Perrin, it's very much like that. Sort of like keeping us informed of his travel exploits as another delay on his journey in. But yeah,
it's a
anyhow.
1970s sitcom he's just mentioned, by the way, that you'd struggle to find on YouTube.
Yes.
Because you're like decades younger than the four of us on this call. So.
Yeah, exactly. But we're giving you all this information. You'll learn this all. So you'll learn a lot about, you know, UK culture.
That's very important. That, by the way, it's like, you know, Adam was telling us to the extent of like, the train has just stopped at this station. It is running 17.2 minutes late. I'm now going to get this next train that I've missed because the other one's been cancelled because of slight winds caused by the northwesterly direction hitting a tree in some way or whatever. It was quite prescriptive. And obviously all of us were very concerned.
Yeah.
And I think the most comprehensive reply we had on the WhatsApp group was from Mark Lewis, who said, cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I'm very much the Adam in my group chats, so I really understand things.
And
you're not missing an awful lot, anyhow, I have to say, to be honest.
We've got just like seconds into the second half, and it all changed. How good is Josh Neufeld? I mean, just
sign the contract. Sign the contract.
Sign the contract, indeed. And it'd be interesting to know, Mark, I don't know if you know this from your times with the DTB or anything, because are we worried that Neufeld and Tilly are both out of contract at the end of the season?
I think we should be. I mean, the sad reality with any League Two and probably League One football as well is that people can't afford to put clubs can't afford to pay anyone on longer than 2 year contracts. Carlisle have just put three players on 2.5 year contracts, even though they look like they're plummeting towards the non-league. But apart from them, no one else can afford to do that. A year ago, Neufeld was a promising but underperforming right back, who hadn't done so much. We reinvented him as a wing back for the franchise game that finished with Ronan Curtis scoring that goal, and he hasn't looked back since. And I suspect, unfortunately, now that whatever he thinks is worth is more than we either can afford or think we will be able to afford. And who knows? I mean, you know, he's from like the Luton area. He came through the Luton Academy. Whether or not, therefore, he believes he's got an opportunity to go to somewhere like Luton or Peterborough or whatever. Mid-table League One was what Peterborough would be. That's, you know, slightly higher perhaps than we have aspirations for. But yeah, I'm concerned because frankly, there's loads of players have done really well for us this season, but he certainly has outperformed, I think, anyone's expectations.
Yeah, all the time. He always has the beating of his man. I've not seen one situation where he hasn't. There was their number two for Tranmere, you know, number two for Tranmere was keeping Tilly very quiet, but Neufeld had the beating on the other side. It was, but what a sensational goal. And I think if you look back on it, it's not only the goal he scores, it's when the ball comes to him, his first touch to control it on his foot, come up, face the player, shimmy, cut inside, get to the edge of the box and fire in an amazing left foot shot. I mean,
that corner, for Trish's benefit, that corner of the ground where he was, when we played towards that, the end, second half, most of the time, that's the corner we sit in. So we kind of get a bird's eye view. And I actually had looked away because I was assuming he was going to cross it. But I mean, you know, the Swindon game, for example, he put in such an absolute delight of a cross that it's the type of thing that frankly should be served up with caviar at the Ritz. That's the one that Tilly scored from, you know. And time again, he is the main threat for us. Even when there's no Omar, even when Stevens is a fox in the box, but on Saturday, for example, he was getting no service whatsoever.
I love that. Served with caviar at the Ritz. Adam, that's the title. And also, then the second goal, I just think Josh Kelly, I think, had another brilliant game. Ran down the wing, pushed his man off, and he crossed into the box. And I'm looking back on it, that was handball.
He caught it, Matt. It was blatant handball. We all saw it. He caught it like this, and it was just like so obvious. I know the camera angles didn't quite show it like that, but it was like basically a goalkeeper save, wasn't it? It was blatant penalty, no doubt about it whatsoever. And none of us thought that was a bit harsh.
Dear listener, you can't see the sarcastic look on Niall Cooper's face.
It's difficult to tell sometimes, Mark, to be honest with you. Sometimes it's a resting face. I think that, but I did. But when the ball's crossed in, he handles it. It comes. It's sort of like coming behind him, and he sort of like he puts his hand up. Anyhow, it's a clear penalty. Matty Stevens stood up, smashed it in. Brilliant. And I mean, what a fan! You know, great win, because I thought for a minute they were going to do a number on us. You know, because they were holding out their bit. They'd really set up to nullify us, and then I always thought they might hit us on the break or something. But they just did. They ended up with nothing, did they?
You know what the official reason was why the guy was sent off, the second yellow card.
Yeah. He touched the referee's shoulder.
He put his hand on the referee's shoulder. Apparently, don't know how someone found this out, but apparently that was the official reason given.
Yeah. That was his second yellow card. Don't touch the referee. That's what we've learned from that particular game. But
the other random thing I was going to ask Trisha, when the game's finished, does it like just cut to like no noise and then that's it and then everyone just disappears and so on? Or is there any other sound or commentary or whatever that you hear if you're overseas?
There's a 5-minute period of time. There's a brief like wrap up by Mikey T, and then it just kind of goes to ambient noise from the stadium, unless right. It's in a way, and then usually it just cuts to silence. But there's still a view of the stadium for a couple minutes, and then it'll cycle through the same three commercials that it cycles through during halftime and the stats.
Does it show
what
the kind of
commentary do you get from Mikey T? I mean, Mikey T, right? Just for your benefit. Is a legend amongst all of us, right? Mikey T, we've known him for years, right? Totally. So what kind of stuff does he like? What kind of commentator is he for you? You know, that 5-minute wrap-up. I'm just intrigued to Mikey T-isms.
So in America, commentators work really hard to pretend to be neutral and be invested not at all in any match. And Mikey T is the opposite of that. And he has introduced me to a wide variety of isms, of Mikey T isms, such as a whirling dervish. Never heard that. That's not American. Love it. Something of a heap is a way you can fall over. In our unbiased style. Love that one because it is so unbiased.
Yeah.
And I learned, again, the culture that is shared through the commentary is a gift to my students and I.
This is the English lesson that you have. It's going to be fantastic. A week on Tuesday.
You've got two lessons now. Two lessons of like translating Mikey T-isms, like just documenting them, like a little dictionary you could sell. Mikey T-isms is there.
Trisha, I think what I'm interested in is. It's great. We are so thankful to have you as a fan. It's brilliant to bring people on board. And we are always really grateful to John Green, the fact that he's introduced loads of people to the club, and obviously everything he's done as well, helping get in Short Shorts last season and Marcus Brown this season, which is phenomenal. And it's great that you heard about us. But I'm just thinking, sometimes, how do we reach out? Because no, obviously, Ryan Reynolds and what they're doing at Wrexham, and they're getting people in. But is there, you know, what else can we do to reach, that global audience? Because you've been brought into it by the story itself.
The problem with trying to reach an American audience is the main beauty of the Wimbledon story is an understanding of how deeply awful franchising is. And that is the way of sport in America. So it's hard to get people to identify, like where I'm from, you could have been an Oakland Raiders fan, but you can't anymore because they moved to Vegas. You could have been an Oakland Athletics fan, but you can't anymore because they moved to Vegas. You could have been a Golden State Warriors fan who played in Oakland, but they moved to San Francisco. You could have been a San Francisco 49ers fan, but they moved to Santa Clara. And that's just my region. It's just how to reach an international audience. I think it needs. In 2019, they sold the rights to Fox for a movie. And I think that is like the story needs to be told and not in a short form is what I'm saying. Because you really have to dig into the history and also tap into people's need for community. And like vlogs don't do that for most people. So I think if we're going to reach a global audience, they need to bully Disney. Why would that be hard? Into making the movie we sold the rights to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't wish to bug my, you know, say anything, but obviously you realize that there was a play about the club.
Who do you think
Did
wrote
you
the play,
realize
Trisha?
there was a play?
I did not know there was a play.
There was a play called A Fans Club. Yeah, we put it on last year. So we'll have to, I'll tell you what, we could send you the script. That's
Or
another
you
thing
could
you could
write,
do.
or the book,
Or the book. Niall wrote a book.
the the
Yes.
book,
A
I
book.
just
I wrote
see.
three books.
Yes, you did write three
You're
books.
not going to reach a global audience with a book, though, because
Ah,
and I say this as an English teacher, people can't read, so that's why we
it's a
need
very good
and I'm
book.
not. I'm not even convinced like a television show is the way to go either because that requires such an attention span. That's why to me we need that blockbuster movie starring who's going to play Omar Boone. You
Oh,
know?
I love it. This is, I was going to ask this question. Who are the stars? Who are the people that you would put in those kind of roles? You know, where is the kind of like, who are the key figures? Who do we need to immortalize on the big screen?
Deb Brown, played by Ed Sheeran's second acting turn. I think that would be great. Danny Kedwell, Tom
Yeah.
Cruise. Tom Cruise.
Tom
Oh, these are
Cruise is
American
quite
actors.
short.
Let me think of, sorry, let me think of, yes. Let me think of, sorry, I gotta think of UK actors. Richard
Oh, that's what
Iorio
Tom
would make a
Cruise.
great Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, that's true. Who's the guy that plays Venom? British actor.
Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yeah. Yeah.
Tom
He was,
Hardy.
yeah. Tom Hardy could play Danny Kebo.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Although no, we can't. No. Because he won a jiu-jitsu tournament in a town whose name I need not mention, but we will be visiting Saturday. And so that's just too much of a connection for me
Oh, that's
to get
sharp.
behind this.
Yeah, okay.
That's
Banned.
sharp.
Banned. Yeah.
That's true.
Can I, and
That is
this is
true. We are very anti that place.
yeah,
We
too
don't,
close.
the place we can't mention. It's like Voldemort. It's just basically that's where he's from, Voldemort.
So can I mean, one thing I've always thought with the film, and this is always the biggest challenge is where does it end? You know, so you know, when I did the play, that ended with
Lovely.
coming in with going into the, you know, getting into the, it was all in one season, so it was like we're starting the club again. So that was the moment when we got the club going again. But I wonder where does it end? Because there's always like a story, there's always a good point. And I wondered whether now, because it was such an emotional moment, that last minute winner. Look, my camera's that last minute winner, I thought that would be that's the perfect chance. That's the perfect time, isn't it?
You
When the
like it,
Blues did it
yeah.
last season,
That winner.
that winner. So
Yeah,
what,
what
where,
happens when that kind of thing happens, Trisha, and then you're running around, whatever it was, 8:45 in the morning? Does Mr. Trisha get woken up abruptly in that regard? Or
he works
is he bought into
Saturdays.
his school? Is he drinking the Kool-Aid as well?
No, he works Saturdays, so he gets my text message commentary throughout the match as I am able because it's so enthralling. It is often hard to send updates. But yeah, he so unfortunately he works Saturday nights.
I
It's
can
a it's
understand. Well,
yeah.
that's a big get out clause on that.
Here's a random thing, because I've been in the States a couple of times when games have been on, and I've tried to watch them early in the morning, and it's just weird. Even more weird because Robbie Earl, who is a Wimbledon hero as well of ours from the 90s, he's now a pundit on American TV, two Robbies. And he wasn't that eloquent when he was a player. But I find, and I've been watching Wimbledon 47 years, when we lose, or even when we draw, when we should have won, that basically screws my whole day, my whole evening. And because obviously those of us in the house, actually our eldest, the one that doesn't go into football, they used to say they could tell the score line by the way we opened the door when we came home, because the whole vibe of us getting out of the car is happy or delighted or pissed off or whatever. If you're doing that at 8 o'clock in the morning, does that completely fuck your Saturday, for want of a better phrase?
Oh yeah, my main day off of the week is made or ruined by 11 random British or import players 5,000 miles away. My outfits are often dictated by their performance, because if I, you know, I feel it and I'm like, oh, it's a yellow day because we won, or it's a green day because it is sad. It's we have
mine, I would call it black, really. Green's not a bad color, to be honest, but now I will have a different view on green. My view on green has now changed.
Well,
I'll know that if I'm wearing green, I'll be thinking of Tricia going like, oh my God.
I'm guessing you had a chance to go to the shop though, Tricia, because the merchandise in there is just amazing.
Yes. Yes. My husband.
Mark Lewis has got the. Have you shown the best? This T-shirt, I adore this T-shirt. I really want that T-shirt, the wider interest T-shirt, because of the back of it is awesome. I so want that.
Have you seen this one, Tricia?
I didn't see that one.
It's like a sort of teal. No, not teal. Kind of light brown. And then the front, it just says wider interest. And it's like, well, what does that mean? No one really gets that, right? You could just walk down the high street in Sacramento wearing that. No one would bat an eyelid. That's just random city in California that I named. But on the back, it's got the quote that was used as part of the decision given by the FA as to why that decision was allowed to be made. And it reads, resurrecting the club from its ashes as, say, Wimbledon Town is, with respect to those supporters who would rather that happened, not in the wider interest of football. Which, quite apart from it being utterly disgraceful to comment something like that, has become a badge of honour, to the point where one of the holding companies we have in terms of the organisation of the football club right now is called In the Wider Interest of Football, I believe. They're £23, which is quite steep, really, for a T-shirt. It's like $30 or whatever. But I'm sure they have quite a lot in stock, because they got them in my size, 2XL. So I'm sure...
Mark, do you know what the tagline is of Fair Game? The tagline of Fair Game is In the Wider Interest of Football.
Tricia,
that's a national campaigning organisation.
Tricia, just to tell you about, you know, who we are really, is we are all suffering from PTSD. None of us have got over the 2002 decision. So, so when it comes to the game on Saturday, for instance, we won't go. In actual fact, we find it difficult to go and watch them when they're actually at our ground. The only reason I watched the last couple of games is because my daughter is so enthralled with it that she actually forced me to go. So if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have seen that last minute goal live. But I was... Bart, were you there for that? But I know that Niall and Adam weren't there for that
I was. And my... just talk about, you know, Matt and Niall used to go to games together, obviously, when they were teenagers and so on, or even younger. My sister and I went from like 1977 onwards, so she would have been 11, I would have been 7, and she lives further away from London now. We don't get to go to more than 2 or 3 games a season together, but we've been to the last couple of franchise games at Plough Lane together, because none of the rest of my family want to go. My sister's quite potty-mouthed, for want of a better expression. It's her birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, Katrina. But when that goal went in from Curtis, let alone the other two for the beginning of this season by Callum Maycock, there was just some kind of, I don't even really know how to describe it, a kind of out-of-body experience almost, that you're celebrating. I mean, I've obviously, you would have heard the commentary, Tricia. I guess you were running around your kitchen screaming or whatever.
I lost my voice that day. I screamed so loud and so long that I went out with friends and hadn't, I was typing on my phone because I, it was 6:30 in the morning, and I was, oh.
Oh, cause, yeah, because it's an early kickoff, so 12:30 again. Yeah, it'll be 6:30 in the morning again for you, or something mad.
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning, Jesus.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Don't go to bed. Just break on through. Make a night of it, Friday night.
It was amazing. But basically, you know, we still do suffer from that PTSD. I mean, I've never been to Buckingham. Are you? I heard you said you're going, or you're watching it. You're watching it on Saturday. You're not going.
No, sure. Me. No.
I was going to say.
I could not.
How many holidays do you need?
I could never. No, I could. No.
Yeah. I mean, like Trisha, for me, I will never go there. And we, you know, I was on the Donstress board, and I'm sure Mark, when he was on the Donstress board, every couple of years we have the big conversation about how we respond to it and how we deal with that game. It's one of the trickiest things that we have on the board to talk about. And you know, a long time ago, we had to take the decision. It's totally up to everybody individually what we do. How you treat it, because people have got very, very different attitudes to it. And like Matt says, you know, I have got PTSD when it comes to it. And there is, you know, I mean, we're all vocal Wimbledon fans, but I just don't want to be in that same vicinity of that team for what they did. So it's a complete impossibility for me to even be there, because I just find it's just horrible. It's just absolutely horrible. It's too much like heartbreaking. Heartache and stuff. I just can't face the idea of it. So come Saturday, and I certainly am aware of a few other people. Eric Samuelson was very much of the similar mindset, kind of Wimbledon's first commercial director, which is that, you know, I'll be doing anything other than trying to, you know, be anywhere near knowledge about that game. So I always try and go on a big trip somewhere or do something that means I'm just completely out of the loop, because I just can't stand it. I hate it with a passion. You know, and I know, if that said, when you know, that winner went in, and Matt was at the ground, and he's like, you know, clearly I'm like absolutely delighted. It's the greatest moment ever. But I just can't deal with it. Imagine if it'd been, because they missed like a sitter about 20 seconds before. Imagine it had gone the other way. I'm like, that would like just everything wrong. And that's it.
This is the thing with football. I guess it's with that particular match, is it's the jeopardy. So football has that sense of jeopardy, which is, you know, which is why we love it. You know, it's the best improvised theatre. It's like, you know, crazy. You just don't know what's gonna happen next and how you're gonna feel.
There's no jeopardy on Saturday if you're like organising your shed or clearing out the loft. You know, there's lots of things you could be doing that don't involve jeopardy on Saturday.
If you get a collection of trains, Adam. So yeah, you're right. There's no jeopardy there, but it's a weird one. And I guess yeah, you understand, Trisha, the level of antagonism and sort of like visceral hatred that we have for them. But so I think there's. But we always say now that if people want to go and watch the game. You know. Fine, go and watch the game. Do whatever you need to do. That's not a problem. We're not stopping people going. It's just how we feel. And I think it's because we were very involved in the whole 2002 thing, in the, you know, the protest season. We were all doing something. Niall was writing the programme. We were selling it. We were out there protesting all the time. So we had such a buy-in. And then to have that, at that time, taken away from us.
Distress, Trisha. I was writing. Distress, Trisha. It was an unofficial program, so it wasn't a club program. This is a program designed by the fans, produced by the fans, and paid by a great guy called Richard Pope to launch it. So it's like, you know, we were producing a quality football program that was an alternative to the original program. We ran it every week. So, you know, it wasn't like I was writing. Well, I suppose it was the program, but it wasn't the club program. So, you know, but we were all involved in it. I mean, all of us were really active.
It was an unofficial program, unlike this podcast, which is obviously, I think we're about 3 or 4% official. We can't work it out. We're never entirely sure how official we are, but it's something around that sort of thing.
2.34%.
But Trisha, you're saying that, you know, we need to get into Hollywood. We need the film. We need that sort of thing. Is going to how we're going to attract the US audience, a bigger US audience. I'm just wondering if you have ever thought about becoming a Hollywood star. It would really help us out, to be honest, if you could do that for us.
Getting rich and sponsoring ASU Wimbledon, I assure you, is my life plan. Like, that is my retirement. That is what's because, as we know, in America, we are all temporarily embarrassed millionaires. So I, in my temporarily embarrassed state, I do my very best. I am Isaac Ogun. Oh my God, Ogundere. Ooh, Mikey T did not pronounce his name correctly for a very long time, and so it is ingrained in me in a wrong way. But Isaac Ogundere, I'm his church sponsor.
It's on social media.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the reason we know it's right on social media, in terms of what the pronunciation should be, I'm just going to find it. It was his mum that put it on social media.
Yeah.
So I had tweeted, she and I are friendly, and I had tweeted that if I had a dollar for every time I heard a different pronunciation of his name, I would sponsor the club and we would not have to talk about the nonsense anymore. Yeah. And then she responded with, yes, it's, and then she explains phonetically how to say it, which is Ogundere. But yeah, if only.
I know. Well, you know, we're all working on it, but you're closer to Hollywood than we are. So I think you just gotta, you know.
It's a work in progress.
Absolutely fantastic. Now then, Niall would have been alluding to it, and I'd like to give him his moment where he can talk about the football governance and what's going on in the UK here. So we've got issues with football in the UK because, you know, a lot of the money resides in the Premier League, in the top flight, which a lot of your students might be watching that sort of level of football, but there's not much going down. And we've got a big debate at the moment about whether we have a football regulator. And so we'd like to give Niall an opportunity to give us an update on where things are. Niall Cooper, where things are.
I've had a wonderful last week. I was in the House of Lords 3 times. Woo! Very exciting. And my love of certain politicians has reached a new level of admiration for how much they are. But on Wednesday night, I was delighted to be joined by the now vice chair of the Don's Trust, Angus Fox, and by Alex Fokes, who's also from Don's Trust, and a load of other people from other clubs, all in the gallery watching the debate. And it was a great experience where we were very resistant, and at no point did we start singing "You Don't Know What You're Doing" or throwing bottle tops or anything like that, which is what we were very tempted to do from our seats up in the gallery. The Football Governance Bill has completed its first bit in the Lords, which is all very exciting. From fair game perspective, we've kind of got about 2/3, 3/4 of what we want, but there's the finance bit that we're still been doing that. So that's the big, big thing about looking at the financial distribution. So the easiest way to explain that is really to just go onto Fair Game social media feed and click on one of the short videos, not the long ones, the last 45 seconds that just tell you about how the financial flow in football is screwed. And basically it's time to get your pens out, hassle all your MPs and say, right, you need to sort it out. Very briefly, Trish, for your benefit, each year, 3.2 billion quid is given to football in England for financial distribution. It's controlled, kill surprise, by the Premier League, and the Premier League keep 88% of it to themselves. They give 7% to the 6 clubs who've decided to get relegated in the last couple of years, so reward failure. And the next 138 professional clubs in the English football pyramid get 5%. So absolutely scandalously low. Premier League kind of want to make sure this football governance bill doesn't come through, and that there's no way that distribution can be changed. And I have basically fallen out with several Premier League people over the last few years over it, because I'm one of the people that's saying this is a complete pile of bollocks and it needs to change. There's a knock-on effect to what that difference causes throughout the pyramid, loads of other issues that are caused as a consequence. But the kind of reality is it's all down to that greediness at the top end that just needs to change. And I think it's kind of, and we're going to find out about whether our politicians in the UK have got a bit of gumph about them and whether they can stand up and help clubs like ours kind of survive and thrive. So that's where we're at, Matt.
And now you were interviewed by, is it Joe Football? The, what's it called, Joe?
Joe Media. What? I've never done Joe Media before. That was awesome. In a basement in near Farringdon, down into a football studio, which is like, it's awesome. It's really quite cool. They're good, fun people. So interviewed by them this week. So that's what, one of the things you can catch up on. Some lots of people have got on their Facebook feeds, apparently, and their YouTube feeds. So definitely have a look if you can at that. That kind of articulates it really well. And the other one, I was on the Guardian Football Weekly podcast this week as well, which has got quite a big show. So that was all good fun. Really enjoy doing that and putting the case for the lower echelons of football and obviously for us guys. So, you know, we'll just have to see where it goes. Most on all those occasions, the presenters have all just said, look, this is a completely logical argument. You make perfect sense, which I think most people would agree with. The trouble is I'm not one of the 20 billionaire owners of the Premier League football clubs. So who all look after themselves and not everybody else. So that's the issue that we come up against. So I don't know if this rings true at all in any way, shape or form to an American audience, but you've kind of got a load of maverick billionaires that actually kind of just think about themselves and their own egos and don't give a toss about anyone else. I don't know if that rings true in any way, if you can think of any parallels in the US at all. Mad maverick billionaires doing crazy shit. Don't know if you know anything like that.
No.
I can't think of at least two or three.
Adam, are we okay with that from now? Is that all right? Oh, listen, this has been absolutely fantastic. Trisha, thank you so much for joining us for our rambling Same Old Wombles podcast.
You are allowed to ask us stuff, but we never gave you the chance.
Yeah, is there anything you'd like to know from four white men who've been supporting Wimbledon since year dot?
I guess.
No.
I guess, like, what? How? Quitting is a very American thing that we do, and you could have done that instead of what you did, and like, I don't understand how. If you could just briefly, 30 words or less, explain to me why you decided to continue on instead of quit.
When the whole Milton Keynes thing
happened. Yeah. When
not
they
like
said
this podcast, you mean? Because I can understand why why you're still carrying on and you didn't want to quit. I mean,
that's why. Otherwise, I would have quit ages ago. Matt said, you've got to stay on the podcast or else it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you never get anyone to do it in 30 words or less. But my brief version would be, on the day it happened, I got a text from a friend saying, have you heard we've lost? So I started crying. I was a grown man of 30 at the time. And it just felt right. It's our club. I was born and bred in Wimbledon. Matt and I grew up fairly close by. Whether you were born and bred there or not, if it's your club, it's in your blood, frankly. I live relatively close to there now, but it's in my blood, and it's the sense of belonging that I have. And actually, although it's a cliched thing and it's in Matt's play as well, but a good friend of ours, a guy called Chris Stewart, just stood up and said all he wanted to do was watch football. And we've been protesting for 2 years and we wanted to watch some football. We did genuinely not care what level it was. We just wanted to watch our team play in yellow and blue. Simple as that.
Niall?
I would say for me, it was just a massive deep sense of injustice. Look, I'm a campaigner as well. I'm a Wimbledon fan. I got to the stage at Selhurst Park, where we'd just been treated as customers. And I wanted to be a fan. I wanted to be part of a club again. I didn't want this kind of ridiculous bunch of people ripping the heart out of everything that was left. And, you know, AFC Wimbledon gave us the chance to do that again. And when we were like able to restart, it was just magical. Like, we lost our first game 4-0, and it was like the biggest party I've known for a very, very, very long time. It was absolutely glorious. We were all swigging champagne on an open top bus down to the ground, right? It was, and that's true. There's a picture of it, right? We absolutely loved it. And that's what it was. It was so special to us. It was like, screw the bad guys. You know, this is it. That's the Hollywood bit. It's like, you completely trampled all over us, and we're saying, screw you. Screw all your kind of like horrible, like evil billionaire nonsense or whatever. We're not interested. So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it was, you could, I mean, we spent so long protesting. It was horrible going to games. It was really stressful, actually. But you could see that, you could see everybody was on the same, you know, same part of the story other than the owners at that point. And then we were just lied to so much. It was so unbelievable, you know, and I just thought, how can we invest in something where we're just being told these lies and it's all just about our business and we're not being listened to at all? So I initially, when I heard the result, I went to the FA headquarters. Obviously, they'd already known them. I just thought, I'm never going to watch football again. I thought, that's it. It's done. Because you don't switch teams, you know. And then, yeah, when someone said, we're starting a new club, I was like, yeah, of course we are. And it was amazing. I mean, and it was amazing. That was the thing, is then become everything was just fantastic. It was like, and every, you know, and that's why, you know, we're very much pro fan ownership, because it just changes the relationship in the way that it should be and how clubs should fit. And that is a massive thing. And I think, you know, Niall continues to kind of try and adjust some of that with the fair game stuff, which is cool. And I think all of us to some degree as well, just saw it as a massive injustice. And so then, you know, you want to right the wrongs, don't you? And I think a lot of the guys we sit with, we're kind of, I think, quite, we like to see things done right. And, you know, I guess it's a bit of a, we're a bit of a left-leaning podcast as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think that there are two things that we could all talk about forever. One is that decision. The other is the 88 Cup final. We'll come on to that another time. But I think for me personally, it was never a decision. I didn't have to make the decision, because I was a Wimbledon fan, and there was a team called Wimbledon that was gonna happen, and it all happened so quickly. You know, decision was made to, you know, allow the club to move, and then the next minute there was going to be ball start again, and so our focus immediately turned from this tragedy to this amazing, and the journey has been incredible. We are very, very lucky Wimbledon fans, because when I started supporting them, we were in the old fourth division. We went through the leagues and we won the FA Cup. We got kicked out of the league. We started again and we've gone all the way through again and made some new friends, you know, built up this amazing community, and it's been fantastic. So we, you know, despite what's happened to us, we're quite lucky. So there you are. Trish,
and if we get great people like you that have somehow joined along the way, then we're just blessed as well.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. Really, Trisha, thank you for being the new generation and bringing in the kind of, you know, West Side, the States with you. So, you know, that's huge. Thanks for all of that. And so, you know, that's our future.
Yeah. And we thank John Green as well for introducing our wonderful club to you. And, we're looking forward to your success in Hollywood.
it's coming.
Just get that song in, Trish, if you don't mind. That'd be brilliant.
The other reason we can't get in the playoffs, as in we have to go for automatics, is because Trisha probably can't afford, either financially or logistically, to come back over for the playoff final.
And there's no way I could miss that. Yeah. Be serious.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't.
No.
You'd have to get fired all over again.
I saw a picture on Trisha's social media of her husband and some friends wearing suspiciously looking Hawaiian shirt style things, but they weren't the Wimbledon ones, were they?
No, I really tried to make that happen, and I could not.
I've had not to make purchase that happen. I had to get them. I had
They've
to get
got some
in the
sale. They've got some in the sale. They've still got
quid,
some.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah. Gang, I'm going to draw us to an end now. Thank you, Tricia. Thank you so much for making us an international podcast. We're grateful. we look forward to seeing you back down at Plough Lane some point soon. Maybe towards the end of the season, you'll have to do a sickie or something. thanks again to everyone else, Montfren, Al Cooper, producer Adam Proctor, football expert Mark Lewis. My name is Matt Cooper. We are the same old Wombles. We'll be back.